Now we're holding on Chof Gimel Amud Bay is about the middle of the Amud, the line between the Bay Dorsey. We started yesterday in the Mishnah. Rav Meir and the Chachamim argue whether a person, suppose you have a what we call a Zabla based in Zeh Borer LaEchad, where we said each one of them picks one of the Dayanim, and then we had a Machlokas, Rav Meir and the Chachamim, who picks the third Dayan. So we said, maybe this din doesn't apply Davka to such a beis din, but in any case, Rav Meir had said that each one could passel the other one's aid. If one of them is bringing an aid, then the if one of them bring, is bringing an aid or is bringing a dim, actually it's said in the Mishnah a dove in the plural, then the other one can say that they're passel, and I want you to bring other aidim. So he said, what does that mean? How could Rav Meir possibly say such a thing? So Rish Lakish had said that it meant that it means a dove. If the guy's bringing only one aid, given that one aid can't make you have to pay money anyway, then you would have the ability to passel him. And we said that the case would be, for example, that you said, yes, one aid usually would make me chayiv only a shvua. I'm willing, fine, to accept your one aid as though he was two. Now, Rav Meir is saying that afterwards you could back out of that and say, you know what, no, if you bring two aidim, then fine, but otherwise I'm not paying money based on your one aid. That was one answer. Another answer we had was that we're talking about that he that one of the Bale Din wants to join with another aide to say that the aide is possible. And we said, how would that work? Would mean where he's saying that the whole family are avodim, and therefore that the and therefore the aide is possible. So the mayor would hold that such a thing is possible, and the Chacham would hold that not. Next, ki osir Rav Dimi omer Rav Yechanan. When Rav Dimi came, he explained the name of Rav Yechanan. Here's another way of understanding the machlokas. Machlokas b'shtei kitei edim. The machlokas is where the other Baal Din has two sets of edim. So you have Reuven and Shimon against each other in Beis Din. Shimon has brought two edim, as has brought two ha has two pairs of edim available to testify to whatever it is that he owes them, that he doesn't owe the money or whatever it is. So now there are two sets of Edim that Shimon has available, and Reuven wants to passel one of them. Did a mayor savat? Now Rav Meir is going to hold as much as possible. You have to clarify, you have to bring forth any possible arguments that you have. So therefore, that would mean he has to bring both pairs to Beis Din. So now, therefore, if Reuven is going to come and say, you know what, one of these sets is possible because one of these sets is possible for whatever reason, it's not considered negeya be'edusa. It's not considered that he's not considered that he has a bias over here, and therefore he should be possible to say edus against them because after all, he has another pair as well. So in short, in other words, Shimon says, you know, Reuven, you owe me this money, and I have two sets of Edim who will say so. So now he brings the first set, and Reuven says, no, they're possible. So Rav Meir would argue he's not considered negeya be'edus. It's not considered that he has a vested interest in saying that they're possible because after all, the Shimon is going to have another pair as well. Or he says he's going to have another pair. And Rav Meir figures that Shimon, to begin with, has to bring every possible piece of evidence that he has. So therefore, so if his first set is passed, then yes, by all means, he should, to begin with, be bringing both sets of Edim. And therefore, if he doesn't, and one of them turns and one of them is possible because of what Reuven said, then that's his problem. It may even be, Rashi says, for example, it might be that so Shimon thought he has two sets of kosher edim, and now it turns out he has only one. That's his problem. He should have made sure it to begin with more carefully that his edim are all kosher. But Rabbanan Savri ain't it tzarich levarer, whereas the Chacham hold that not. He doesn't have to bring all his evidence to base it in the first place. So how can Reuven say these edim are possible? He would be negeya be'edus, because then, as far as he's concerned, once he passels these edim, Shimon has no other. Yes, it may turn out in the end that Shimon has some other ones, but Shimon is able to say, I don't have any more edim, and therefore, at that point, if Reuven passels these edim without just on his say so, then he's negeya bedavar. You can't accept his edus. He's very biased in that. So that would be the machlokas. Aval, but Kach Achas. But if Shimon to begin with says he has only one group of Edim, Divrei Hakol, Ein Yochel L'Poslan, then everybody would agree that Reuven is not able to passel them, because how could he? If Reuven is going to bring other Edim, that their passel is one thing. But for Reuven himself to say, I say that their relatives, or I say that they're psulim or whatever, then no, of course, even Rameyer wouldn't hold that that would work. So that's another way of explaining it. That he said in the name of Rabbi, that Rabbi Dimi had said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. So, Omer l'fon of Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. So, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi say to Rabbi Yechanan, "Ein sham alakat achas mahu." So, taka, what would happen if there's only one? If there's only one group? So he must say, what do you mean? Ein sham alakat achas. V'ha'amet avu v'kat achas divra hakol en yochol aposlan. You just said if there's only one group, then everybody agrees that he can't passel them. So, what are Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi asking? Ella, no. What he wants to know is nimtzas kat shnia krova. Kroven upsulin mahu. What would happen if it turns out that he started with two sets? So now Reuven said the first set is possible. So now he's left with the second set. But now, suppose it happens, after all, that the second set also turn out to be relatives, or they turn out to be possible. So what's going to happen? So mahu. So now, what's going to happen? Are we going to say that since the second group is possible, so it comes out in retrospect, it comes out that it comes out that Reuven was negeir be'edus when he spoke against the first one, against the first group. And in that case, then we would say that then in that case we would say it turns out we have to discard his edus, because it turns out he was negeir b'davar. We didn't know it at the time because we thought the second pair was available, but now it turns out the second pair turned out to be possible. So maybe we should say then that we, after in retrospect, throw out his previous edus, or maybe not. The fact is, at the time he wasn't negeir be'edus. It's true we didn't know that later on this other set is going to turn out to be krovim upsulim. But after all, that's exactly what they are, and therefore maybe we should say we do accept his edus to begin with, and then maybe we do accept his edus, and we say, listen, it's Shimon's problem at this point. Now. Rashi explains that is the girsa that he had in front of him, which is the girsa that we have in the Gemara, is that. But second of all, but Rashi has a couple of questions on it. Rashi doesn't like that explanation for a couple of Rashi doesn't like that girsa and that explanation for a couple of reasons. Because the fact is, what's the question? The mayor would still have to agree he's negeir be'edus. It comes out when he hadn't passed the first group, then he would have had to pay because of that. Now it actually turns out that the second group are actually clarifying for us that because that second group is disqualified, therefore we're going to talk about whether his first edus is possible or not. So rather, Rashi prefers a girsa that. So Rashi prefers a girsa as follows. Reb Meir would hold Ein Sorach Levarer, like this, the Girsa we had in front of us in the Gemara was Reb Meir had held Sorach Levarer, and the Chum hold Ein Sorach Levarer. So now we're saying the other way around, that Rashi prefers the Girsa that to begin with, Reb Meir had said you don't need Ein Sorach Levarer. Shimon doesn't need to bring all the possible pieces of evidence that he has to begin with. So all Shimon has to do is bring one pair of Edim. And therefore, even though he said he has two pairs, fine. Based in, we'll tell him doesn't matter. Right now, we don't need both pairs. Just bring the one. And if we need the other one, then we'll see. Then we'll bring them. So now, when he brings them and it turns out to be possible, then we're going to say it doesn't matter because he still has a second pair, and they'll be possible. So now when Reuven comes and says that he's going to passel them because he's going to passel them, then. Then fine. Reuven can be one aid of a pair to say that one of these pairs are possible, because Shimon will still be able to bring the other pair. Whereas the Chacham holds Sorech Levarer to begin with, he has to bring all of the aidos that he has. And therefore, it means that to begin with, he's negeir be'edus. How can he join in to passel a different set of edim So now, according to that, the question would be fine. Rav Meir says ein sarach levarer according to this gersa, but right now we don't have an edus because to begin with he brought one pair of edim. Now it turns out that one of those pairs of edim was disqualified because it turns out that they are krovim epsulim. Now does it come out retroactively that he was negeh be'edus, or do we say that listen, we didn't know at the time. At the time, the second pair of Edom had not been brought yet, so maybe therefore it would work. So Rashi prefers that girsa and that explanation, which is the opposite of the girsa, the way that we have it in the Gemara. Tosfos actually defends Rashi's first explanation, Rashi's first girsa, which is how we have it in the Gemara. The mayor holds tzorech levarer, therefore he would be able, the mayor would say, to passel one set of edim, because so what? It doesn't matter to you if one set is passel. Basin will tell him, bring your other edim, and he'll do what Basin says. So therefore, he's not gonna lose out because one set has been passeled. Whereas the chacham would hold ein sarach levarer, and therefore, as far as we know, as soon as this pair is passel, then he has no more edus. We don't know whether he has any others because only afterwards, because he's does he say that I have others, and therefore the chacham would say you can't passel them in the first place. So now the question would be, what does your mayor hold in such a case? So mahu. So what would be the din? On the other hand, so Rabbi Yochanan answers them. Kvar ha'idu edim harishonim. Listen, the first edim have already said their edus. So when it turns out when the second group is possible, we already accepted the edus of the first one, the edus of Reuven and somebody else who said that this guy is possible. At that point, as we said, he's not negeya be'edus yet because there are other edim available on deck, and therefore, so now we now. Now we can't go and retroactively passel his explanation. So according to Rashi's first explanation, the answer of Rabbi Yochanan would be that listen, Reuven together with somebody else already passeled them. Reuven wasn't negeh bedover at the time, so that's it. Then we keep his edus, and yes, it turns out that now the second set is passel as well. That's Shimon's problem, but we still don't have to retroactively disqualify Reuven's edus. According to Rashi's second explanation, which again is more according to the girsa that he prefers, that no, on the contrary, when we say that they gave edus, we mean the first set of edim gave edus, and we're going to believe them. Now that it turns out that the second set are passel, then we can't say, then we do have to retroactively passel Reuven and company's edus, because we say now we know that they were. Now we realize that ultimately they would have been negei bedover. And therefore, so he can't go and passel that. He can't go and passel them because now it turns out he is negeh b'davar, given that the second set turned out to be krovim upsulim. So, in short, in other words, when Rabbi Yochanan is saying kvar ha'idu edim harishonim, which edim harishonim do we mean? Do we mean Reuven and whoever he joined with to talk against these edim, or do we mean the first two edim themselves? Okay, Ikadami Amar Rav Ashi, Kvah Yidu Edom Rishonim. Some say that it's Rav Ashi said that, not Rav Yechanan. Okay, in any case, so depending on the different Girsois and Rashi, then what we're going to say is, in short, is that either we're saying that in fact, according to the mayor, we will in fact say that that Reuven has the ability to passel these edus and to passel the first edim, and we're not going to throw out his edus, even though afterwards it turns out that he was negeya bedover, because at the time when he said his edus, he was not. Or the other way around, we would say that it turns out that he was negeya bedover at the time, and therefore we have to throw out his edus and reinstate the original edim. Okay. But the point is, if all along, if there are many sets of edim available, and Reuven is going to passel only one of them, then that's when Rav Meir would be saying that he has the ability, Reuven plus somebody else has the ability to do that, because he's not negeh be'edus, because there are still many more pairs of edim available, and it's not like all of them are going to end up being passel. Well, the Gemara says. Name of plugta the Rebbe v'Rav Shimon Gamliel kamiflagi. Well, should we have to say that Rav Meir and the Chachamim, according to that explanation, then are having the same machlokas as Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel? The Tanya, habol lidin b'shtar. At this point, we're saying that Rav Meir, according to this way of looking at it, Rav Meir and the Chachamim are arguing about the point called tzorech levarer or not, according to the different gersos in Rashi, whichever one of them holds tzorech levarer, whichever one not. According to the Gemara that we have in front of us in the Gemara, the Meir holds Tzarech Levarer, and the Chacham hold not. And according to Rashi's second and preferred Gemara, the other way around. But the point is, we have this underlying point of Tzarech Levarer. If a person comes to Beis Din and says, "I have multiple pieces of Eidos that will support my position," is Beis Din going to tell him, "Well, then bring all of them"? Or is Beis Din going to say, "Fine, right now you just have to bring the minimum amount that's necessary to that if it turns out to be good, then we'll accept your claim, and if it turns out that it's not, then you'll bring the next piece, etc." So should we say that that's the subject of a machlokas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, which we learned in Baba Basra, the Tanya, habol lidin b'shtar of a chazaka? Suppose a person comes to Beis Din, and he has a shtar, and he has a chazaka. So what we mean is, in other words, he has a chazaka on the land of 3 years, and he says, "I've already had 3 years of chazaka, and in addition, I have a shtar that I bought the place." Usually we say after 3 years, he doesn't need to keep the shtar necessarily. Generally, the assumption is, the reason behind the Gemara had explained in Baba Basra, the reason why after 3 years, the reason why 3 years is a chazaka, because typically a person doesn't hold on to his shtar that long. But nevertheless, in this case, he's saying, "I do have both. I have 3 years of chazaka, for which I have edim, as well as I have the actual shtar." So nidin b'shtar divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says he's judged using the shtar, meaning, in other words, he has to bring the shtar. If he doesn't bring the shtar, then the chazaka is not going to help. The shtar stands in place of chazaka, but here he says, "I have the shtar," and therefore Beis Din is going to tell him, "Well, then bring it." Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'm a nidin b'chazaka. Reb Shimon Gamliel says he can be judged based on chazaka. It's enough for him to say. So now, nidin b'chazaka sounds like, Rashi explains, it sounds like he must bring the edei chazaka and we have to ignore the shtar. So the Gemara asks, "V'avinan ba?" Now we discussed this when we learned this in Baba Basra. What does that mean? B'chazaka v'loy b'shtar? Does Reb Shimon Gamliel say he must bring the edei chazaka, the edim that he was there for 3 years? He can't bring the shtar. Why should he not be able to bring the shtar? The shtar is also good evidence that he owns the field. Ela'ema af b'chazaka. Rather, what it means is Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying it's one or the other. If he has edei chazaka, then he doesn't need to bother bringing the shtar. So in other words, we would be saying the kaima londa but tzarech levara pligi. Now we know in the relevant sugya in Baba Basra, which we learned in the last parak of that masechta, is that the underlying machlokas between them is on this matter of tzarech levara. So Rebbe is going to hold tzarech levara. So you have to bring all the evidence that you have, both the shtar and the chazaka. And Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying you can do one or the other. So does that mean that Rebbe and that Reb Meir and the Chachamim are arguing on the exact same machlokas? So the Gemara says loy. No, within Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion that he has the choice which one to bring, then there's no argument. Because Reb Shimon Gamliel is clearly saying that in Tzarech Levarer, so therefore obviously he doesn't hold, obviously any opinion that would say Tzarech Levarer can't be like him. So if we say that the Chachamim hold, if we say like the Girsa and the Gemara in front of us, that Reb Meir holds Tzarech Levarer, then there's no way he can hold like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Necessarily only the Chachamim would hold according to him. The machlokas would only be within Rebbe's opinion about the shtar versus the chazaka. So the mayor ke Rebbe. So the mayor would be straight out like Rebbe and say that it means that tzarech levara. He has to bring everything that he could. V'rabbanan, where's the chachamim? Amri loch. The chachamim are going to say to you. There's a difference between our case over here as far as the two sets of edim versus over there. Ad kamla ka'omer Rebbe Hossam ela de chazaka ela de mekayach shtara ka'asi. After all, what are the Chachamim saying? Ela b'chazaka de mekayach shtara ka'asi. Rebbe is talking about over there. You know what? Think of it. The chazaka depends on the shtar. There's no chazaka unless previously he had a shtar. In Baba Basra, it talks about the concept. The expression is kol chazaka she'eni matayna ena chazaka. In order for a chazaka to be valid, it has to be backed by a taina. It can't be, for example, that somebody comes and says, "What are you doing in this field?" And you say, "Well, I saw the field wasn't occupied. I figured nobody owns it, so I moved in." That's not a chazaka. There has to be a chazaka. Means that there is that I bought the field from you X number of years ago, 3 or more years ago, and I lost my shtar. That would be a taina that backs up a chazaka. Well, then Rebbe says, given that the chazaka itself is only an outgrowth of the shtar, then you got to bring the shtar. Aval Hocha, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, fine, disagrees. Aval Hocha, Dehani Edim, Lav Mekoyach Edim, Achrini Kaosu. But in the case we're talking about over here, each set of Edim is independent of the other. Their Koyach doesn't come from the previous set. Afilu Rebbe Moide, De Ein Sorach Levara, then even Rebbe might well hold that in this case, Ein Sorach Levara, and it's fine for him to bring one set of Edim, and therefore, so Shimon, to begin with, could say, this is all the Edim I have, and Reuven, you have no ability to passel them just on your just by joining together with another aid and saying that they're psulim or avodim or what have you, because look, you're negei be'edus. I, Shimon, may well have another pair of Edom on deck, but that's his business. He doesn't necessarily have to tell Beis Din in the first place that he has them, and therefore he can block Reuven from and somebody else from disqualifying them. That's according to Rashi's first lashon. Again, according to Rashi's second and preferred lashon, what we mean is that even if you want to, so you could say that both of them are, that Reb Meir would hold, that Reb Meir would say, what I'm saying is even according to Rebbe, namely that even though Rebbe says over there, Tzorach Levarer, I might well hold that in this case, that in this case, Ein Tzorach Levarer, according to Rashi's second Girsa. Rashi points out the halacha is generally like Rebbe against the halacha is generally like Rebbe, which is why the Gemara is trying to make both Reb Meir and the Chachamim's opinions in our Mishnah work according to Rebbe. Okay. In any case, so it's not necessarily the same machlokas. They're both arguing within Rebbe's position, the halacha would be like Rebbe against Reb Shimon Gamliel. But in any case, the point is that's another way of understanding why Reb Meir says that the one Baal Din has the ability to pass all the other ones Edus. So now we're saying we do mean both Edim, but we mean he joins together in an Edus together with somebody else to say that the guy is an Eved, or to say that the guy is apostle Edus because of Avedus, so what have you. And the Machloka says, can he do that? Isn't he Negei Bedover? And Reb Meir is saying that yes, he could, because there may be other Edim available, and the Chachamim are saying that he can't. Okay, so that's another way of understanding their machlokas. The Gemara continues, Ki also Rovin Omar, Rabbi Yechanan, when Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Here's another way of understanding the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. But now in the Mishnah we had two machlokas in between. Well, we had three, but the first one, as far as the composition of the Zabla based in, is not relevant to our point over here. But we had two machlokas in as far as passeling. We had Reb Meir had said that each one can passel the other one's dayanim, and then we had Reb Meir also, and the Chacham say that only if he brings proof that they're kroivim epsulim. And we had he can passel the other one's edim, and again the Chacham say only if he brings proof that they're kroivim epsulim. So now Rovin is going to explain in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Resha, the Edim Psulim Vadeyonim Ksherim. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about where he says that both the Edim and the Dayonim are apostle, and Beis Din checks into it, and they find that what he's saying is correct about one of them. So we would say, so for example, we find out that yes, what he said, these Edim are apostle, these would be Edim, apostle Edus, because for example, they're Bali Aveda, we find that, you know what, it is in fact so, based and corroborates that point. But meanwhile, he also said about the Dayanim that one of them was no, one or more of them was no good, and it turns out that he's wrong about that. Beis Din doesn't find what he said about them doesn't find what he's saying about them valid. Well, we could still say Reb Meir would say nigu to pass the Edim, pass the Nami Dayanim. Once it turned out that he was correct as far as the Edim, then therefore we can say that we accept his psul of the Dayanim as well. So even though we haven't, I should say by the Dayanim, it's not that we found specifically against what he's saying, but in the case of the Edim, we were able to corroborate what he said from independent sources. He said that these Edim apostle, let's say, because they're Bali Avera, and we checked into it and we found from independent sources, yes, indeed, they are Bali Avera. Meanwhile, he's saying something similar about the Dayanim, but we don't find any evidence to back that up. We only have his say-so. Well, Reb Meir was going to say, once we see that he was correct as far as the Edim, then we should accept what he says as far as the Dayanim as well. The Sefer, the Dayanim Psulim, the Edim Ksherim, the Sefer, the other Machlokas, the Meir and the Chachamim, would be the other way around, where it turns out what he said about the Dayanim is correct. They are, in fact, Pasul, the Edim Ksherim, but we didn't find anything to Pasul the Edim, and therefore they still have their Cheskas Kashrus. Where again, we would say, the bigger to pass the Dayanim, pass the Nami Edim. Where the Meir would say, then, since once we've shown that what he said as far as the as far as the Dayanim is correct, then we're going to accept what he said as far as the Edim either also, just based on his say-so. So therefore, so that would be what Rameyu means when he says that he can passel the other one's Dayanim, or we can passel the other one's Edim. We mean he's arguing on both of them, and one of them we were able to corroborate, and one not. This Migui over here, this is not the regular Migui in Chas. Migui just means because of. Then therefore, we're going to accept what he says on the other one as well, and the Chachamim disagree. So the Gemara says Maskifla Rava. Rava asks on that. Bishlema Migui de Pasti Edim Pasti Nami Dayani. You want to tell me that because we accept, because we find what he said about the Edim to be true, therefore we should also accept what he said about the Dayanim? Fine. Ikabe Dinachrin. Now listen, there are plenty of other Bate Dinim in the world. If we accept what he said, that these Dayanim are possible, then fine. It's not such a loss to, we can say he's not Negei Be'edus. It's not such a loss to, it's not such a loss to Shimon, his Baal Din, because fine, it just means Shimon is going to have to find another Beis Din. So therefore, fine. Reb Meir might well say then that once we know that what he said about Shimon's Edom is true, then fine, we're also going to accept what he said is true as far as the Dayanim. Elam nigu de pasti Dayanim pasti nami Edom. But you're telling me the other way around, that if we find that what he said about the Dayanim is true, then automatically Reb Meir is going to say we have to accept what he said about the Edom is true as well. Vo Edom tuleka. What do you mean? Shimon may well not have other Edom, and then you're preventing him from bringing his case altogether. So he's very much an Negeba Dover. How could you believe him? So the answer is Rava continues. So the answer is loy tzricha de'ika kat acheres. So okay, the case could be where he has another set of edim as well. The Gemara says, what do you mean? V'holeka kat acheres mai. So what are you telling me then? That the implication is if he doesn't have another pair mai, what would be the din? Hokinami dele matzi pasli. Then he wouldn't be able to passel them. Then why do you, Robin, have to bring this new explanation? Hainu did Rav Dimi. Then that amounts to the same thing as Rav Dimi said. Rav Dimi had also said that if there's not another set of edim available, if Shimon says, I don't have any other edim available, then Reuven doesn't have the ability to passel these. So where is the actual difference between what you're saying and what Rav Dimi is saying? And the answer is ikubinayo migui. Fine, you could say that Rav Dimi and Ravin are arguing within what Rav Yochanan said specifically about this point of migui. Demar savra amin and migui, mar savra lay amin and migui. Namely, this concept that Ravin is bringing in, this idea of migui. This idea that once one part of his edus turns out to be correct, then we should also accept the other part about, he said about the Dayanim, therefore we should accept about the Edim, or vice versa. Ravin is mentioning that point. Rav Dimi is not mentioning that point. So in other words, Rav Dimi would say, to explain Rabbi Yochanan and to explain our Mishnah, it's not a matter of migui. Whichever, if Ravin is saying that Shimon's Edom apostle, it depends strictly on the question, are there other, does Shimon say to begin with that he has other pairs of Edom? So if he does, then fine, we can accept his Edos about one pair, because we can say, fine, even if we disqualify them, he's not Negei Be'edos, since there is another pair available. What happens if that other pair turns out to be an apostle after all? Then that will be subject to the discussion we had before of Rav Ami and Rav Asi about what happens then. But in any case, as long as the second set turns out to be kosher, then no problem. We can pass all the first set based on his say-so. But, and we don't have this concept of migui, that if he says that the Dayanim were possible and it turns out he's correct, we should also automatically, what he says about the Edim, Rav Dimi never said such a thing. As opposed to Ravin is the one who's bringing up that point, that's another way in which he can passel the Edim, by saying that the Dayanim were possible and the Edim are possible, and it turns out he's correct. We have independent evidence of what he said about the Dayanim. Are we going to accept what he said about the Edim? Then Rameya is saying yes. Okay. So in short, we have several different ways of explaining Rameya and the Chachamim's opinions in our Mishnah. The Gemara says Gufa. Now let's get back to something we said before. We said when we first brought up Rameya's opinion, we said, Omer Shlokish Pek Kodesh Yoma Davazeh. How could the holy mouth of Rav Meir say such a thing, that Reuven has the ability willy-nilly to passel Shimon's Edim, Tony Edoi, and he explained that it meant one aid, and we said that it meant Rav Dimi by Rav Yosef had explained that it meant that that it meant that that it meant, well, actually the Gemara had first explained before we got to the Dimi Bar of Yosef, whatever, we'd explain that it means that that Rav Dimi Bar of Yosef is something else, but whatever. Anyway, the point is, we had said that it means that he said to begin with, when if you bring one aid, fine, I'm willing to accept it as though it was true. Now, can he back out of that or not? Rav Meir holds yes, and the Chacham hold no. So that was that. But now the Gemara is going to shtelzich on Rish Lakish's. On Rish Lakish's way of expressing himself. Why would he say about that? Why would he say about Rav Meir, Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh? So, Eini, is that so, that Rish Lakish would talk like that? If anybody were to see Rish Lakish in the Beis Medrash teaching Torah, you would be able to picture it as though he were uprooting mountains and grinding them one against the other. In other words, Rish Lakish was a tremendous Baal Pilpul. He had tremendous ability of analysis, to be able to ask and answer questions all. So that means he was so sharp that not necessarily would he be speaking in that. Of course, he's going to have respect for the mayor, but to speak in such a way, pe kodesh yom adavazeh, that's not the kind of thing that a chorif like that is going to do. You often find, for example, you know, you often see, for example, that Rishonim will argue at each other, or occasionally even Achronim against Rishonim, and they may say, for example, they may say with all due respect or something like that, but they're not going to say in a way, pe kodesh yom adavazeh. How could this holy mouth say that? And we have to correct what he said in order to, we have to correct the wording of what he said to make it fit. No, he would just say, listen, what he said, I'm going to show logically that this can't be so, and therefore that's it. Don't accept this opinion. Let's go find another way of explaining it. So why is Rish Lakish the chorif like that, using this expression pek kodesh yom adavazeh? Rish Lakish himself is not that kind of person who needs to show such deference to the mayor. So the Gemara says, why? What's the problem? Why? If you saw a mayor in his time in the Beis Medrash, you would say it's as if he's taking mountains of mountains, gigantic mountains, and grinding them once another. In other words, Reb Meir himself is a tremendous Baal Pilpul and has an even greater analytical ability than Rish Lakish. So yes, Rish Lakish might well say, you know what? Yes, I know what it means to be oikah hodim like that. But nevertheless, I recognize that Meir is so much greater than me, and therefore he would speak with such deference about. About Reb Meir. So what's the problem? So no, Hachi Kamar. So you're right. We're not asking. Since when does Rish Lakish use such wording? On the contrary, we're saying what we mean by pointing that out is just the opposite. We're saying come see how much the Talmud Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael love one another, that even Rish Lakish, even though he's very sharp and a great Chacham, he still used such a respectful expression about Reb Meir, calling him Pe Kodesh. So, in other words, the Gemara is not wondering why would Rish Lakish use such an expression. On the contrary, the Gemara is saying, wow, look at that expression that Rish Lakish uses about Reb Meir, showing that even though he's sitting over there and analyzing and grinding up mountains, nevertheless, he still uses such deferential terms, such expressions of respect when talking about Reb Meir. So in other words, basically, Ben Yehoyada explains that the question was not that Rish Lakish should argue with Reb Meir. Rish Lakish is an Amora, Reb Meir is a Tana, but why is he using such an expression, Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh, which doesn't seem typical for Rish Lakish? And the answer is actually that Faket, because Reb Meir is so much greater than Rish Lakish, then yes, he would use such an expression. But still, Rish Lakish could have just said that he doesn't need the Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh. The point is, Rish Lakish wants to demonstrate with that wording how much he loves the Chachamim, the other Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, including Reb Meir. Because, as the Gemara is going to explain over here, that the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael had tremendous love for each other, and even when they argued with one another, they would still show tremendous deference and tremendous love to one another. So there's also an interesting explanation that there's also an interesting explanation that that the question is specifically why he uses the expression the Sanhedrin Ktana on our Masechta gives an explanation that the question is specifically why he uses the expression Peh Kodesh. Why particularly that expression? And the answer is because listen, why is Reb Meir saying Zeh Poisel Edav Shel Zeh, that he does passel the other one? Why does he have to say it almost sounds like he should. That he should passel the other one. He should say Yochel Lifsol or Naaman Lifsol or something like that. So Reish Lakish is bothered by the fact that a mayor should speak in such a way when we're saying. And the question is, well, Reish Lakish himself will use strong expressions sometimes. So the answer is that even though the mayor learns with such a, even though he uses such a forceful expression, but nevertheless the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael were very careful to show respect for one another. So therefore, yes, we are. Asking why Reb Meir is using like such an abrasive expression, Zeh poisel edav shel zeh, you better passel the other one. And the question is why and the question is why Reb Meir is using and Reb Meir is using that expression. And the answer is because we're saying that and the answer is Reish Lakish wants to answer because he's saying anyway to only passel one aid, and it's not really so bad if he wants to do that. One aid, after all, is not two aidim, so therefore he is able to retract. Okay. So the Gemara says, so Boyore, Kamach Machadvin Zeseh, come see how much the Talmud Chacham of Eretz Yisrael love and show respect for one another. Ki hod Yosef Rebbe. We have an example where one time Rebbe was sitting, v'ka'omar, and he's saying, also lahatmenes hatzoinen. And before Shabbos, you're not allowed to take a cold dish, for example, cold water, and insulate it and wrap it up. In order to keep it cold for Shabbos, we know there's a concept you're not allowed to do with hot food. There's limitations on doing that before Shabbos, because the Chachamim were concerned that you might reboil it on Shabbos or whatever. So now Rebbe is saying the same thing as far as taking, for example, a bottle of cold water and wrapping it up in blankets or something. So Rebbe would say you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that before Shabbos. Because he figures the Yad Ramah explains because then if you do that with cold things, you might come to do that with hot things, and that's also Dirabbanan. Of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, but Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi says to him, "Abba hitu l'hachmanas hatzoinen. You should know my father, Rabbi Yosi, allowed us to wrap up and insulate cold food. It's only hot food that you're not allowed to because of the concern that you might reboil it or there might be hot ashes in there or something." Omalei, so Rebbe says, you know what? Kvar hora zaken. The elder Rabbi Yosi has already given the psak. So in that case, fine, I retract what I said, and you could do atmana with cold water. So now, generations later, Omar Papa, Boyre, come Chabvin Zeseh, come see how much we see from this little exchange, how much the Tanoim in Eretz Yisrael had love and respect for one another. De'ilu Rabbi Yosi Kayam, had Rabbi Yosi been alive when all this was going on, Hayakofer for Yoshev Lifnei Rebbe, he would be subjugated and he would be sitting in front of Rebbe as a Talmud. And we know that. Because Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi is fully the equal of his father as far as Torah and Yiras Shemayim and everything. The fact is, Rebbe is the Nasi, and the fact is, Rebbe is the Nasi, and therefore everybody is going to be subject to him. And Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi is fully of the caliber of Rabbi Yosi, the kofa for Yosef, kofa for Yosef Lifnei Rebbe, and he's sitting bowed and subject in front of Rebbe because Rebbe is the Nasi. So Rebbe is the top person over there. And yet Rebbe says with respectfulness about Rabbi Yossi, you know what? The elder has already paskin, and therefore I retract what I say in favor of his. So we see, in other words, that Rebbe had tremendous respect for Rabbi Yossi and for Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi as well, and therefore that shows the love that the Chachamim had for one another. Rebbe doesn't just say, basically, listen, I'm the Nasi, what I say goes, but rather he's showing tremendous deference for another Talmud Chacham's opinion and saying on him, Kvar Hora Zaken, the elder, the respectable Talmud Chacham, has given the psak, and therefore I retract in favor of him. So that leads the Gemara into a bit of discussion about this point, about the different styles of learning in Bavel versus in Eretz Yisrael. So we're saying in Eretz Yisrael, they had tremendous Avas Yisrael for one another. Now in Bavel, of course, they also had Avas Yisrael, but it expressed itself in a different way. In Eretz Yisrael, we're saying that they had more of a spirit of an open spirit of friendship to one another. Of course, they're challenging each other with questions in the Beis Medrash, but they're never doing it like in an aggressive type of way. Whereas in Bavel, they would. So the Gemara brings several drashas in that connection. There's a pasuk. Zechariah has a number of nevuahs, some of them referring to how things are. Zechariah lived at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, so a number of his nevuahs deal with how things are going to be in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash and afterwards. So he describes, Va'ekachli shnei maklos, he says, I took for myself two sticks, la'achad korasi noyam, one of them I called gentleness, la'achad korasi choivlim, and the other one I called, choivlim, like damaging and beating up. And I was pasturing the sheep. So in other words, the Jewish people are compared to sheep, as we find in that metaphor often used in Tanakh and in davening. So Hashem is saying that I'm going to have two sticks with which to lead the Jewish people. Noyam elu tamana chacham sheba Eretz Yisrael. So the noyam, the gentle one, refers to the tamana chacham in Eretz Yisrael. Sheman imin zela zeba halacha. They're pleasant to one another in halacha. So in other words, they look into it together. And yes, they ask questions and they answer to each other, but there's never this aggressiveness of each one would correct what the other one is saying. And that way it comes out, Rashi explains, and that way it comes out very clearly, but not in a way of, wait a minute, how could you say such a thing? So that's the Tachum and Acham and Eretz Yisrael were the gentle way like that. They're the Noyam. Chovlim, Eilat Tachum and Acham Shem B'Bavel. The Chovlim refers to the style of the way the Tachum and Acham in Bavel. Shem Achablam, Zela Zeba Halacha. They like beat each other up and damage each other in halacha, meaning, in other words, that no, I can't agree. I can't possibly agree with what you say because such and such. How could you say such a thing? And so forth. That's the style of the chachamim in Bavel that are more aggressive to one another. So, in other words, Rav Oshia is saying it's not like you can't say, for example, that one is better than the other. Each one, the Pashtus, I guess, has its advantages. The fact is, we learned the Gemara Bavli, which is full of that kind of thing, much more than the Talmud Yerushalmi. But nevertheless, the point is, these are two parallel methods, which Hashem is saying that each one of them has its place. One in Eretz Yisrael, one in Bavel. Similarly,
now, but at the end of the day, the one that has the midas is the one who is better.
But they both have midas. That's the point. It's expressed differently in the way that they talk to one another in Bavel versus in Eretz Yisrael. But even in Bavel, ultimately, as we say, es vohev v'sufa, even if it seems that they're fighting and they're enemies to one another during the debate, afterwards, since they're all in it l'shem shemayim, then afterwards they show that they're truly friendly to one another. So in Bavel, they arrive in that way in this more aggressive method. In Eretz Yisrael, to begin with, they have more of the noyam method, but each one has its place. And each one is showing good midas. Chas v'shalom, we would say the chacham of either place didn't have good midas.
Eventually, it's not what they have; it's what their talmidim have.
Their Talmidim also learn good midas from them. The fact is, we have generations of chachamim in Bavel who had tremendously good midas and who gave us the Talmud Bavli as we have it. So the Gemara gives another example, and from another nevuah of Zechariah, Vayomer Eli, Zechariah sees a whole vision over there of a menorah with olive trees supplying it with oil and so forth, and he sees at one point, he sees there are two pipes giving oil to the menorah over there. So he asks, what are they? Vayomer, and the Malach says, Ela Shnei Bnei HaYitzhar, these are the two sons of the oil, Ha'omdim L'Kaymer, who are standing in front of Hashem, the master of the world. And a few psukim earlier, it says, "With shnayim zaysim aleha," there are two olive trees by this menorah, one on one side and one on the other. So in other words, we have these two things on the two sides are being described as yitzhar, which means oil. They're also being described as zaysim, which means olives. So what are they? Olives or oil? So the Gemara explains it's both. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, yitzhar. The oil refers to the chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. They're gentle to one another in discussions of halacha, like olive oil. So in other words, again, the idea being that in Eretz Yisrael, they go about in a smooth olive oil-like way in coming out with the conclusion in halacha, in Torah. Ushnayim zeisim aleha, when it says a few psukim earlier, there are two olive trees on the sides of the menorah. Eilat menachachamim shebabavel, that refers to the menachachamim in Bavel, shemerurin zela zeba halacha kazayis. They act in a bitter way to one another in halacha, like olives. So again, in other words, the same idea that in Bavel, they adopt this more forceful and aggressive kind of way. Again, not to say against them, but to say each one is a different style. Both of them Hashem approves of, therefore he shows both of them in the vision to Zechariah. Each one has its time, each one has its place, and each one is acceptable. Obviously, again, in either case, they both do have good midos. We're talking about how they express that in their debates in Torah. Another one. Here's another one, and this one actually has something a little negative against the people of Bavel, namely another nevuah of Zechariah. Va'esa enai ve'era, he says, I lifted up my eyes and sees and see. Noshim yotzis. There are two women coming out. V'ruach b'chanfehem, and there's wind under their wings. Chasida. They have wings like the wings of a stork. Sa'efa. They're carrying the efa, which is a unit of measure between heaven and earth. Rashi explains the Eifa refers to the Yetzirah. The two women, Rashi explains, based on, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain over here, represent two bad midas of Chanufa and Gassus HaRuach. Chanufa means hypocrisy or flattery. It includes, for example, when you say to a Rasha, what you're doing is fine and good. The other one is Gassus HaRuach, which is pride. So the two women represent that. The wind, the Ruach under their wings, represents Gassus HaRuach, represents pride. And they're carrying the Eifa, which represents the Yetzer Hara. Zechariah continues, "Va'omer, I said to the Malach who's speaking to me, Ona Hema Melichas, where are they bringing this Eifa? Va'yomer, and he answers me, Livnes Lavayis Be'eretz Shinar, to build a house for it in Shinar, which is another name for Bavel. In short, these two women representing two bad midas are going to set up shop in Bavel. This refers to these two bad midas of Chanufa, represented by the wings of a chasida, because that's what one meaning of a choynef is. Another meaning of choynef, besides that it means somebody who flatters Rishoyim, it also means somebody who himself is a hypocrite. He puts on a show as though he's a frumta guy, when really he's nothing of the sort. So he's represented, so he's making himself out to be a chosid when he's not, therefore he's represented by the wings of the chasida. And the other one, Gassus HaRuach, is represented by the wind under the wings. Lebavel, and all of that, Shiyod Lebavel, all of that came down to Bavel. So in other words, there are those midas do have a home in Bavel. Mepashtus, I guess you could say the Gemara is bringing that in the sense that we said that the Talmid Chacham and Bavel are using this aggressive posture to one another. They do have to be careful, after all, that they don't have Chanuf of a Gassus HaRuach in the bargain. They should make sure that they have the good midas that a Talmid Chacham is supposed to have. Well, the Gemara says, "V'gassus haruach leBavel nochis." You're telling me that Gaiva came down to Bavel. Va'omamara sora kabin gassus yodel oilam. We say in Kiddushin that 10 measures of gassus of gassus haruach of pride came down to the world. Tisha notla elam. Elam, which is an area in Persia, it's the capital of it is Shushan, took 9 of them. Va'achas kol oilam kulay, and the whole rest of the world got one. So we see that gassus haruach in the world can mainly be found in Elam. And the answer is Ein. Lebavel noches, it came down to Bavel. Ve'ishtarbuvi, who de ishtarbuv la'elam, and then it spread forth to Elam, and therefore it wound up finding its home in Elam. So yes, it started out in Bavel, but it didn't stay over there. It moved eventually to Elam, and therefore that's why you find the Gassei Ruach mainly in Elam. And the Gemara says, Dekanami. In fact, you can see that clearly from the wording of the Pasuk, Dichtiv, Livnes La Vayis Be'eretz Shinar. Because the Pasuk says to build for her a house in the land of Shinar. Now, first of all, Rashi says the word La isn't singular. So you see that only one of these two bad midas took up residence in Bavel, the other one not. Also, there's the point Rashi mentions on the Pasuk. This is one of three places in Tanakh where the word La, which usually has a mapik in the hey, and you pronounce the hey, La. Here, the hay is silent. It's one of three places in Tanakh where you have that. Therefore, it represents that the house didn't endure. It started out in Bavel, but it didn't endure over there. So the Gemara says, Shnamina, okay, that proves it, that in Bavel, you have Chanufa, you have this idea where people act hypocritically and pretend like they're better than they are, but not the Gassus HaRuach. So the Gemara says, why? Maybe the Gassus HaRuach is in Bavel after all. Va'omamar, simen l'gassus HaRuach anius. A simen, how do you know when people have Gassus HaRuach, is when you see that people are poor. Va'anius the Bavel Nachas in poverty went to Bavel, because in fact the Gemara in Kedushin there also says that of the 10 measures of poverty in the world, 9 of them went to Bavel. So therefore, yes, if poverty and Gas Zeruach tend to go hand in hand, then yes, apparently there is a lot of Gas Zeruach in Bavel. And the answer is my anius Torah. No, because when we say poverty, we don't mean poverty in Gashmius. We mean poverty of Torah. We mean people who don't know. So the point is, in other words, a person, and the point is, Rashi explains in Kedushin, the connection is, when a person feels this gasas haruach, he feels, well, I don't, who do I have to learn from? I know it all. Therefore, he never ends up learning Torah very much. And that you have, that you find more in Elam. Dichtiv, as we find a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Ochos Lonu Ktana, the Malachi Asharis, the based in Shomayla, whatever, said the Pamali Shomayla, says, we have a little sister, Vashadayim Einla, and she has no breasts. So what does that represent? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Zu Elam, Shazachsa Lumud, Veloy Zachsa Lalamid. This refers to the country of Elam, where they have the schus of learning Torah, but not to teach it. Namely, who lived in Elam historically? The great Chachamim who lived in Elam, Daniel and Mordechai. Daniel, we find both Daniel, both of them, we find Daniel and Mordechai. We find them located in Shushan, which is the capital of Elam. They had the schus to learn lots of Torah, but not to teach it, because the people over there weren't receptive to learning Torah. So that, because they were Gasei Aruach, so therefore there ends up being a poverty of Torah in Elam. Here you have these tremendous tzaddikim, Daniel and Mordechai, and they have nobody to teach over there because nobody's interested in learning from them.
Wasn't Mordechai all about teaching the Yidden Torah?
He was about teaching the children Torah. We find that he gathered together 22,000 of them in the face of Haman's Gzeira. First of all, that might mean only in the face of Haman's Gzeira. Before that, maybe even the children weren't interested in learning from him. But here we're talking about not necessarily even at that time was he teaching the adults. As opposed to, Rashi points out, the contrast is with Ezra, who lived in Bavel, and the Pasuk says on him, Lamed Choyko Mishpat. We had a few days ago when we talked about that Ezra deserved, he would have been worthy, that the Torah should have been given through him, except it was given generations earlier through Moshe, and it says the expression, on him, Lamed B'Yisrael, Choyko Mishpat. So Ezra did have, there were many people in Bavel who are receptive, who are interested in learning Torah from him, and he became the great Maritz Torah of his time. So we're saying that Mordechai and Daniel were not able to accomplish that, not because of any flaw of theirs, but because the people in Elam and Shushan were just not interested, because they had that Gas Zeruach. So therefore, that's the point. So the Gas Zeruach, it came down to Bavel, but in the end, it moved from there. The people of Bavel did not end up being Gas Zeruach. It ended up, most of it, moving to Elam, and they were Gas Zeruach, and they were also, therefore, poor in Torah. Okay. So one more thing about the contrast between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Pasuk says, "B'machshakim ashivani kemesei olam." In Eicha, we say, "Hashem has placed me in darkness like the ones who are dead forever." So what does that mean? Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah zet Talmuda shel Bavel. That refers to the Talmud of Bavel, where again, as we said, they're because they have this aggressive, rough method with one another, then Rabbi Yirmiyah says the result of that is that the learning in Bavel is, Rashi says, sofik biyadam. Their learning is all a sofik by them. It's not as clear to them as the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the fact is, though, we know that the halacha is mostly like the Talmud Bavli. In fact, the Rif says that we, in general, we follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, and pretty much all the poskim after him agree with that point. So he explains ultimately what it is fine. It may be, like we're saying over here, the level of learning was inferior to an Eretz Yisrael, but ultimately the Bavli was completed later than the Yerushalmi, and they knew what it said in the Yerushalmi, and if they disagree with it, means that's a conscious decision, and therefore we have to follow them. Rabbeinu Chananel, actually, over here, explains the other way around. Rabbeinu Chananel here, and Rashi himself, elsewhere in Chagiga, explains that, no, what it means is Talmud Bavli is so deep and profound that it's like a dark place, in other words. So yes, in other words, in Eretz Yisrael, yes, they learn in this gentle way, but it's much more superficial, kind of, so to speak. As opposed to in Bavel, yes, they have this aggressive method with one another, but they really get down to the bottom of it over here.
I think that the Bavli is preparing us for Galus for 2,000 years, and we needed this sharpness
and
aggressiveness.
There is definitely that. And in fact, the Rebbe talks about in a number of sikhs that, yes, the Talmud Bavli is particularly what, when we're in the darkness of Galus, then we have the Yisro and the Omer, Teich HaChoshech. We have the tremendous advantage of the light that the Talmud Bavli brings out from the darkness over here and illuminates the darkness of Galus. Yes. So there is there is that, but and that's the point. In other words, one point of it is, in fact, that Reb Yumi himself, in various places, Taka puts down the Chachamim of Bavel. And the truth is that Amram writes there were actually different times in it. In the times of Reb Yochanan, for example, the level of learning in Eretz Yisrael was much higher than in Bavel. But later on, the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel not only caught up to but exceeded the abilities of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, and then we. Don't, then when we say that it's dark, we mean in a positive sense, similar to what Rabbeinu Hananel says, and similar to this idea of Yisur Naomi Techa Choshech, we go from the darkness of the aggressiveness and all of the Talmud Bavli, and we come out with that with the tremendous greater light of Torah.
And I think that Yerushalmi points towards the times of Mashiach when things will be resolved and.
That may well be, and I think that may well be, and I think there are sichas that imply as much as well. Yeah, right. But the fact is, nowadays, not only do most of us learn the Bavli and we pask in halacha in general according to it, the Yerushalmi is actually quite difficult to learn because for a variety of reasons, including that it wasn't learned as well. Therefore, the Rishonim didn't deal with it. So there you also have an example: the darkness and the depth of the Talmud Bavli have been thoroughly illuminated for us by the Rishonim, whereas the Yerushalmi much less so. So yeah, and in many places it talks about that's the difference. You have Ur Yosher and Ur Choser as it talks about it in terms of Hasidus. You have the direct light versus the reflected light. And yeah, you have all kinds of things like that about how, yes, the Talmud Bavli, as much as we're saying over here, is dark, but there's a greater advantage to what comes out of that darkness than there is to the straightness and the gentleness of the Yerushalmi. Yeah. Okay. Okay, the Mishnah says, Omer loy nemen olai abba. Suppose that one of the Balei Din says to the other one, I accept my father as one of our dayonim, even though my father would be posel edus, because he's a relative. In this case, I'm willing to accept him. Or nemen olai avicha, or I believe you, or I will accept your father as a dayan. I will accept that the Dayanim should be three cowherds, three people who are not Boki and Dinim, and they're simple people who just take care of cows. Is that binding on him? Reb Meir Omi Yochalach. So Reb Meir says afterwards he could change his mind. The fact is that I said something, I didn't make a kinyan or anything. You can't hold me to that. The Chum say you can't change his mind. Once you accepted these guys as your dayonim, or then you have to continue, then you have to follow through with it. Another example where somebody foregoes a right that he had, whether he can afterwards reassert that right. Suppose that a person is chayav to the other one to take a shvur. Let's say there's one aid against him or the various other cases where a person has to take a shvur. And the other one says, you know, a regular shvur would involve swearing in Hashem's name and holding a sefer Torah or tefillin or what have you. Instead, you know what, I'm willing to accept a lesser shvur. Durli b'chaye roshcha. Swear to me by the life of your head. Sort of nidur is like nidur is a lashon of shvur, but in other words, instead of swearing in Hashem's name, fine, swear by your own life. So Rameir Omi Yochalach Sabay, Rameir says he could change his mind and say, you know what, never mind that kind of shvur. You have to take the serious shvur with the name of Hashem. The Chum say he can't change his mind. So the Gemara says, as we learned before on Daf Chav Gimel, Amr of Dimi Breder of Nachman Breder of Yosef, going to Kibla Ale Bechad. What we're talking about over here is when he says that I accept my father or your father or whatever, means that he accepted him in place of one Dayan. So then, and Rameo would hold that he's able to change his mind. If he accepted him as three dayanim, but in other words, even though there are two other dayanim, nevertheless, your mayor is saying, yochalachsaboy, and we don't say, well, look, there are two other good dayanim, and therefore you have to accept the whole complement of based in that. No, your mayor is saying that that he would say that he could change his mind. Tosfos actually brings a different explanation that Rav Dimi is actually referring to what the Chachamim say. When the Chachamim was saying he can't change his mind, that's when he accepted him only as one of the three Edim. So because the Chachamim was saying that, listen, it's only one Dayan out of the three, And therefore, then therefore you can't change your mind. But if you accept, if he accepted him, if he had said, not only I'm willing to accept him as one member of the Beis Din to begin with, but I'm willing to accept him as the sole Dayan, then even the Chachamim would agree that he could change his mind, because you have Tauti L'Reya, say you have two reasons to say that it shouldn't have worked, because number one, because he's possible to judge, because he's a relative, and number two, because he's accepted him as one in place of two Edim or three Dayanim or whatever. So then even the Chachamim, so Reb Dimi would be telling us that even the Chachamim might say that he could change his mind then. Now the whole machloikus in our Mishnah is where he's saying that where he's saying, you know what, I trust my father or your father to be the Dayan. Machloch, if he decides in your favor, then fine, I'm willing to be mochel you. So for example, in other words, so you have Reuven is saying to Shimon, you owe me $100. So Shimon is denying it, for example. So Reuven says, fine, you know what? If let's go to a Beis Din, let's have my father, for example, be one of the Dayanim to judge us. If they come up and say, you know what, Shimon is Potter, then fine, I'm willing to forego the debt. So now the Chacham say you can't change his mind after that. But if it's the other way around, if Shimon is saying, I will accept these Dayonim who would otherwise be possible, and if they judge in your favor, I will give you whatever they said, give it a hackle yochalachsabai, then Rabbi Huda is telling us in the name of Shmuel that they would, even the Chachamim would agree that he could change his mind. Because after all, he's still muchzik in the money. So therefore, so you want to take away money from me, for that you need Dayonim who are kosher. And until we have Dayonim who are kosher, I can renege on that and say I don't want to accept. Rabbi Yochanan says the machloikas is indeed by etan l'cha. If he says, I will give you, can he change his mind or not? Well, he boil the hoose. And now the question is, how do we understand that? Does Rabbi Yochanan mean that the machloikas is only on etan l'cha? But by mochel l'cha, everybody would agree he can't change his mind. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan would be saying exactly the opposite of Shmuel. Shmuel is saying that the machloikas is by mochel l'cha, but by etan l'cha, for sure, he could change his mind. And Rabbi Yochanan would be saying the other way around, that by etan l'cha, there is the argument, and mochel l'cha, for sure, he can't change his mind. Or Duma, bein mazu machloikas, maybe Rabbi Yochanan means the machloikas is either way. In other words, yes, the machloikas is in Shmuel's case of mochel l'cha, but it's also in the case of Etan Loch, unlike what Shmuel had said. So the Gemara says, Toshna, the Omer Rava Machloikas be Etan Locha. Rava says the Machloikas in our Mishnah is where he says, I will give you, where it's Shimon, the one, the Nitva, who's saying, I'm willing to give you if this Dayan Paskin's in your favor. But if it was the other way around, if it was Reuven, the Teveya, the one who's claiming the money, who says, I'll be Moichel you if they decide in your favor, then Rava says, everybody would agree he can't change his mind. So, if you say that Rabbi Yochanan means that the machlokas is only by etin l'cha, avo b'mocholoch d'vehakol en yocholach sabay, but when it comes to mocholoch, everybody would agree he can't change his mind, then fine, we understand that Rava d'amok Rabbi Yochanan. Then Rava is saying that I hold, that Rava is saying like Rabbi Yochanan. He's saying that we should accept Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of our Mishnah. Eli, Amit bein bezu machloikas. But if you say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying the machloikas is either way, and Shmuel had said exactly the opposite, and Shmuel had said exactly the opposite of what Rava is saying, that machloikas is by mochel loch and not by etin locha, then Rava da'amah command. Then who is Rava saying? Like on the face of it, Rava should be saying like either Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan. Says, what do you mean? Rava time and denafshe, comma. Rava himself is an amora. He can say a third explanation. So yeah, there can be three different explanations of what the machlokas in the Mishnah is. That's no proof one way or the other of how Rabbi Yochanan understands it. Well, let's focus on Rava's opinion. The Gemara says, "Eisver of Achaba Tachlifa the Rava." We say in the Mishnah, that if the case was that he's chayav shvua, and if he swears, then he's going to have to pay. And the other one says, instead of taking a shvua min atorda, just say that you'll swear on your own life, on the life of your head. Then Reb Meir and the Chacham argue whether he can back out of that. My love. Now we have to realize when it comes to a shvua in Beis Din, there's two different possibilities of the outcome of the shvua. You can have a shvua to collect, you can have a shvua to be potter for money. That's the only kind that exists in our Torah. So you have a moed b'mitzvah, for example, he swears, then he's potter from paying. But you have a couple of examples, a shomer, a modu mixas, where there's one aid, all of those, if they swear, they're potter from paying. Then you have cases, midrabanan, where a person swears and collects on the basis of that. When we learn Masechta Shavuos, later this year, B'ez Hashem, we'll learn of such cases. So my lab, ba'oisin anishboin v'loi mishamin. So doesn't it mean, shouldn't we assume that our Mishnah is talking about the cases d'oraisa, where we're saying that he's going to swear and be potter? So now he says that the shvur should be duly b'chayirosh, swear to me by your life, to have like a mocholoch, which is the equivalent of mocholoch, and therefore therefore we would see the machloikas is even by mocholoch, or only by mocholoch, as the case may be. So not like Rava says. And the answer is loy ba'oisen anishboin v'noitlin. No, because you could say the Mishnah is talking about the cases where people swear and collect money. So it actually gives several examples. You have, for example, a person swears that I was your employee and you didn't pay me yet. That's an example where the Rabbanan is able to swear and collect. You have a case of a nigzol. There are several cases in Masechta Shavuos like that. So now, in other words, it's a case where he's saying, if you swear to me by your life, then I will pay you. Now can he renege on that and say, I want a Shavuot d'oraisa or not? So that would fit with what Rava is saying. The Gemara says, what do you mean? V'altana le'resha. What do you mean? No, that already it's said in the resha. That you have the machloikas by according to Rava, by etim l'cha in the resha. So why does it have to repeat it? By a shvur. And the answer is fine. Tana tola b'das achirim, but tana tola b'das atzmai. Fine, because you can say that we're saying that you can be talking about where he makes it depend on what somebody else is saying. My father or your father as the dayan, and he's also saying tana b'tola b'das atzmai, where he's saying that it depends on what I do, whether I take the shavua or not, whether I'm willing to accept the shavua or not. Utsricha, and in fact, Rava would say we need both of those cases in the Mishnah. The itana tola b'das achirim, because if we were talking about only the dayanim, he's saying whatever the dayanim say, I'm willing to accept, even though they're postulators. You could say b'ha kamer abeir d'motzi hodebei. You know why? The mayor says over there that he can change his mind. Mishum d'le gomor makni. He's not to begin with fully being makne and saying, you know what, I am fully accepting whatever they say, because after all, because he thinks to himself, d'omar. He thinks miyema d'mezaki le. Who says that they're going to say that the other guy is right? Maybe they'll decide in my favor. So if I had known that they were going to say that, if they're going to say against me, then maybe I wouldn't have accepted them in the first place. So it's almost like an asmachta. Avo toila b'dasat, but when he makes it depend on his own das, that if you swear a less important shur, such as by your life, then I'll pay you whatever it is. Ema modi lahu l'rabbanan. Maybe the mayor would agree with the chachamim that he can't change his mind because he knows. Once I say duly b'chayyadoshcha, then the guy's going to say, excellent, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Why should I take a shvua on Hashem's name when I can get away with a lesser shvua? So therefore, you could say that to begin with, he knew that that kind of shvua is going to happen, and therefore it means that he fully accepted that, and either the mayor maybe would say that he can't change his mind. So maybe he would agree with the chacham that he can't change his mind. The Iyashmin and Baha, if we only have the case involving the Shavua, you would say the other way around, Baha Kamri Rabbanan, only there. Did the Chacham say he can't change his mind because we can be sure that it was a full-fledged commitment because he knows as soon as he says, Duli B'chayiroshcha, that the other guy is going to grab that opportunity. Avabah, he aim a modulay the Rabbanan the mayor, but in the other case of the Dayanim, maybe the Chacham would agree with the mayor that he didn't know how they're going to rule and therefore that he didn't take a full commitment. So therefore we need, in fact, both cases. So according to Rava, yes, both cases can be talking about as far as etin l'cha, as far as where he's saying, I will pay you on the basis of these dayanim, or on the basis of this lesser shvua, and nevertheless, in each case, the mayor is saying that he could change his mind, and the chachamim would say that not. So we'll continue, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll continue and analyze more of the Mishnah, Be'ez Hashem.
Yes, Shkoya.